Help us to commence with hymn 944. Tell me, Saviour, from above, dearest object of my love, where thy little flocks abide, sheltered near thy bleeding side. Hymn 944.
Help us to read from his holy word, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. May he grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, do help us to come to thee rightly. We pray for grace so to do. Without grace we cannot. Oh, do grant us that grace now to come reverently in godly fear and in living faith, putting our mouth in the dust, smiting upon our breast, pleading, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, we are sinners. If we can hardly bear what in ourselves we see, how foul and black we must appear, most holy God, to thee. Oh, we pray we may realize by living faith what the hymn writer went on to say. But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen as I approach to God. Lord, may it be so. We plead it may be so. We plead we may see Christ by faith, have a revelation of the Son of God in our room, place, and stead, that we may know he is between. O Lord, that we might look upon him by living faith and mourn for him, be wholly taken up with him. Oh, worship him. Love him. Know no other Lord but him. Oh, Lord, we pray for this blessing. Lord, 'tis all of thy grace. 'Tis all thy work from beginning to end. We cannot add to our stature one cubit, or make one hair white or black. But Lord, hast thou not said, behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet God feedeth them. O Lord, we plead, O do feed us, Almighty God. Open thy hand, satisfy the desire of every living thing. Feed us with food convenient for us. Thy abundant free provision, sovereignly broken unto poor sinners, thy body, Lord Jesus, thy blood, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray, do forgive our sin, do cleanse us thoroughly from our unrighteousness. Lord, do take away the love of sinning. Do lead us in thy truth. O Lord, show us thy truth. Lord, make thy truth a living reality in our hearts, that we might walk in the truth, that walk by faith and not by sight. To this end, Lord, do sanctify everything that thou dost bring upon us, in thy providence, sanctify it to the good of our souls. O Lord, be the interpreter in all the perplexities. Lord, we are such fools ourselves, and we have such a subtle foe in the devil. O Lord, we do not know of ourselves right from wrong. Lord, we pray thou would show us. Show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. O Lord, surely thou art the way, Lord Jesus. Blessed Spirit of truth, do show him to us. Bless this waiting people. Thou knowest those that are thine. Thou readest the hearts. Thou understandest the inward motions. O Lord, thou art the spring of every right thought, of every living desire, of every sigh and groan after thee. Lord, thou art the spring of every real mourning over sin and hankering after thee. O Lord, then we pray, minister to thy people. Lord, thou canst not let them die, nor wilt thou. Thou hast said, because I live, ye shall live also. O, we pray, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. O Lord, do grant living words to thy people tonight. Lord, a word from thine own mouth, in demonstration, in assurance. Lord, effectual, saving word. Oh, do then bless us indeed. Enlarge our coast. Recover us, Lord, from every heart wandering. Lord, deliver us from every snare. Oh, pull us out of the traps that are laid privily for us. We pray thy blessing on this people from the youngest to the eldest. Have mercy in the families. Save the precious souls of our children and young people. Guide and direct them in life's pathway. Provide for them. Help them. O Lord, may they still prove thou art a prayer-hearing God. Lord, do keep them and each one of us from the evil. Lord, we pray, do help those of us that are parents. Do give wisdom. Do give that grace needed to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Help us to pray for them according to thy will. Lord, do help in all life's mountains and difficulties, the perplexities, the trials, Lord, the impossibilities, Lord, the strange places we come into. One said, strange myself and paths appear. What am I and where am I? Oh Lord, we pray, come where we are. Lord, all that we might know we are thine, and that we are in the way everlasting. Lord, put us in it if we are not. Confirm us where thou hast put us in the way. Bring us back, Lord, where we have wandered. We seek for our older friends. Lord, with many the grasshopper has now become a burden. Lord, we pray for them, be their help. Uphold them, Lord. Oh, may they be favoured to feel the everlasting arms beneath. That strong consolation when all around the soul gives way. The marble cottage shakes. And oh, Lord, with them and each of us. For Lord, it isn't always the oldest that die first. Oh, we pray, let not the day of our death come upon us unawares, any of us. Oh Lord, prepare us for that great change, when nature sinks beneath her load, amidst the din of Jordan's flood. With this my every fear dispel, one sip of Bethlehem's sacred well. Lord, confirm thy people, as we've read from thy word this evening. Confirm them to the end. Lord, grant that exercise to this end. Lord, let none of us wear out our religion. Lord, if it is given by thee, it will never wear out. But Lord, if it was one we begun ourselves, it will wear out. Lord, we pray, make us to endure to the end. Lord, where we're deceived, do undeceive us. Lord, do give those shoes of iron and brass, and the fulfilment of the promise, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We bear before thee the afflicted. Many whom thou lovest are sick and afflicted. Do help them. Do make their bed in their sickness. Do from the affliction take the curse. Lord, do sustain under the heavy load. Lord, do appear, we beg. Lord, we plead. Oh, do mercifully grant relief if it would please thee. Where it is thy will, grant healing. Where it has come, Lord, to bring down the tabernacle of the body. O Lord, as the outward man decays, may the inward man be renewed day by day. O Lord, then we plead. Grant thy people that prospect by faith, that they shall be found longing to depart, to be with thee, which is far better. Lord, may we this language speak. Lord, what is this world? We thank thee for thy mercies pertaining to time, thy kind providence, thy abundant harvest given, and all thy kindness and mercy to us. For Lord, oh, how many of us here tonight can say, but this is not my God. Lord, we pray, make that the language of us each. Lord, to count all things but dung and dross, that may we may win Christ and be found in him. We pray for our absent friends to watch over and keep them where they are, and at the appointed time return those that are away at this season in peace and in safety. Lord, if there are any that could be here, if they would, oh, we pray, have mercy. Bring back thy prodigals. Bring thy sons from far, and thy daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by thy name. Lord, look upon Zion. Give to us, Lord, something of that spirit thou gavest Jeremiah. For he did say he wept night and day for the affliction of the daughter of thy people. He had thy spirit, Lord, and we covet it ourselves. Lord, that spirit of faith to realise the sad condition of the daughter of Zion, her own condition, and the condition of those with whom we meet. The condition, Lord, in Zion in this day. Lord, thy solemn withholding. Lord, so few attend thy solemn feast. Lord, it is attending that solemn feast. It is eating thy flesh, Lord Jesus, and drinking thy blood by living faith. That is the feast. Lord, isn't merely attending the place. But Lord, do so few even do that in so many places. Lord, do help us. Lord, revive us. Lord, do not take thy spirit altogether from us. Do not unchurch this land. Do not remove, we pray, the candlestick from its place. But Lord, we do need that repentance and that working in us by thee, to do those first works that thou hast called us to, lest thou remove the candlestick. Bless the deacons of this cause. Help them in their labours. Bless their labours. Bless them personally. Bless each member of the church. Help each to hold each other's hands up in prayer. May there be that increasing unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Let no root of bitterness springing up trouble us, and thereby many be defiled. And do have mercy on Britain. Save, we beseech thee, in wrath remember mercy. But come to us now, O Lord, do pour in and grant the opening of a door of utterance and of hearing. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 238. With melting heart and weeping eyes, my guilty soul for mercy cries. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the vengeance due to me? Hymn 238.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 22, 23 and 24. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Verses 22, 23 and 24. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. To the Lord Jesus, the Jews said, "What sign showest thou that we may believe?" And he replied to them, "There shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall also the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the bowels of the earth." Oh, that blessed sign, Christ, the sign, God's sign. Didn't Simeon speak of him like this? A sign that shall be spoken against. The Jews require a sign. Something that they could lay hold of with their natural faculties. But you see, they saw those miracles. They could not deny that Jesus Christ wrought wonders. Think of what he said on that occasion when he healed that man that was brought to him on that stretcher with a palsy and let down through the roof. And the first thing the Lord Jesus did for him was his greatest need. "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And the Jews said, "Who is this that forgiveth sins? None can forgive sins but God only." And then he spoke solemnly of how he would show to them his power and authority. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, then saith he unto the man sick of the palsy, Rise, take up thy bed and walk." The Jews require a sign. And my dear friend, we've all got that Jewish nature about us in this respect, requiring a sign. Why does that in us which is always looking upon things with a natural eye, and is always looking in this way for comfort, for consolation. But if we are a Jew inwardly, one whose circumcision is in the heart, and by the Spirit, and not in the flesh, and by the flesh, we shall and can only live by faith. Because our need is so great that there is nothing in nature can meet that need. Our sins are so great that there is no sacrifice, there is no way of putting that sin away that we can see with our natural eyes. Our difficulties are so great that there is no God that we can discern with our natural mind. The way is so difficult, there's no way we can find that way by our own sight. The just shall live by faith, and they shall walk by faith. The Jews require a sign. Oh, may the Lord in mercy deliver us then. How will he deliver us? Why, giving us another nature and granting his blessed Spirit to preach Christ to us. The Jews require a sign. Why, if we are wrought upon by the Spirit of God, if we are convinced really of our need, if we're given a real hunger and thirst, signs won't help us. Signs are not sufficient. Oh, there's nothing tangible to the natural eye and mind. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath showed them unto us, said Paul, by his Spirit. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, in the time when the Holy Scriptures were inspired by God, the Greeks in particular were a nation renowned for their scholars, their philosophers. We read of that city, Athens, that the continual direction of men was continually seeking after something new. Now you see, that has spread out from Greece. It's through the whole earth, and so when we read here the Greeks, as it often is in Scripture, the Lord, the Spirit doesn't only mean those men that lived in Greece, but the Gentiles as a whole. And the Word of God says, men shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. He hasn't really made the world a better place, has he? We would not deny that in the providence of God and under his blessing, the Lord's people have benefited from this with regard to the advances in medicine and in other ways. We do not speak against that at all. But, oh, as knowledge is increased, so the corruption is increased, the deceit is increased. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The Greeks seek after wisdom. And we by nature are Greeks. Oh, by nature we seek after an answer from within ourselves to all our difficulties. By nature we seek an answer from within ourselves or from other people's natural understanding to the question that arise, the difficulties. The world to creature objects flies, their maladies to heal. And the child of God has got the same nature. If the Lord make you honest, you'll have to confess. Oh, how I fill my fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all my woe. Were half the breath thus vainly spent, to heaven in supplication sent, then this my cry would oftener be, hear what the Lord has done for me. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh, the multitude of theories there are among men concerning even the way of salvation. The multitude of religions that man in their wisdom has concocted. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Oh, you see, what fools we are. We're these Greeks left to ourselves. Oh, we think if we have this or that or the other, we shall be wise. We shall do well. But my dear friend, we shall not. We shall not. You know, we shall not be well spiritually, well eternally. We shall not fare well except we be brought completely to the end of our own wisdom. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, said the Lord Jesus to those still on the Emmaus road. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has. What a mercy if in our cases he has. And has saved us in doing so. He calls the fool and makes him know the mysteries of his grace. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The things that are hid from the wise and the prudent and are revealed unto babes. The blessed simplicity that is in Christ. God saith, and it is done. Oh, that is the simplicity that is in Christ. When God speak to a poor sinner through the person of his dear Son by the work of the Holy Spirit, that one is wise. Why? Mary, the Lord said at that time when he reproved Martha, he loved Martha, Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The Greeks seek after wisdom. You know, there's a solemn word. Well, there's many solemn words in the Word of God. But the one I particularly have in mind with regard to this seeking after wisdom is that ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? That's natural learning. Ever learning. You may become very learned in doctrines. You may become very learned in the Word of God. But if you have not the Holy Ghost as your teacher, and if you have, you'll learn by painful experience. You'll learn by being brought to that point where you feel to know nothing. And you'll learn by being taught of the Spirit to ask him to teach you everything. And so you'll be very, very small by that teaching. And only by that teaching are you able to come to the knowledge, the saving knowledge of the truth. The saving knowledge. And that saving knowledge of the truth is in the power of it, not in the letter. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. But we preach. That is Paul who wrote this epistle. Sosthenes, our brother, he speaks of as he begins the epistle. And each and every one who are appointed by God, anointed with the Holy Spirit, and sent by God to preach the Word of God to sinners. But we preach. But oh, when Paul said, we preach, oh, what did he mean? Why, listen to what he says in another epistle, in another chapter, these same epistles, I believe it is. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Who is sufficient for these things? It's only those that preach Christ crucified. But he says our preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and with power. Now that is preaching Christ and him crucified. So it is not the man who speaks. Oh, Paul, he had very low views of his ministry. The Holy Ghost has seen fit to withhold from us the exact infirmity which he had, but we have glimpses of it in the epistles and in the Acts. My infirmity in the flesh, the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he says in one place, his letters weighty, but his bodily presence weak. Oh, you know, it wasn't Paul's oratory skills that made his preaching so profitable, so Christ-exalting. No, oh, it isn't theatre. It isn't clever words. It isn't what men would call good oratory skills. It is the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? It pleases him. He takes the meanest of men and fits them and equips them in the way he sees fit for the work of the ministry. But you see, above all that fitting and equipping is the work of the Holy Ghost in their own soul, so that they preach as sinners to sinners. That word that was used in the beginning of the real ministry in the case of Bernard Gilpin. For as if you know his experience, you'll remember that he began to preach before he was really taught the truth in the reality of it. But the word that the Lord used when he was called to preach the real truth was this: cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Now thy bread is the bread that God feeds the minister with. And sometimes that is the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But then that bread, Christ, that way Christ is made known to the minister. That way Christ speaks to them. That way that poor minister lives upon Christ and mourns that they live not more upon him, not wholly upon him. But we preach that preaching, the declaring of Christ, the declaring of his glorious person, who he is, the eternal Son of God, without beginning, without end, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, the eternal Son, the Son in whom his church is chosen, the Son set up from everlasting by his Father, The Son who from eternity looked upon the earth, rejoicing in the habitable part thereof, and his delights were with the sons of men. But who was in the fullness of time sent by his Father to this earth, and took into union with himself that perfect, spotless, spiritual, holy humanity, mysteriously and uniquely wrought by the Holy Spirit, a virgin shall conceive and be with child. She shall bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. For we preach Christ. Oh, the inexplicable. We preach, not explain, but preach. It's inexplainable. No one can explain how this Jesus Christ can be the Son of God and the Son of Man. But oh, it was vital. It was essential. For except he be the Son of God, he cannot be holy. None of his people that he come to redeem could be the sons of God in him except he be the Son. Except he have equal power with the Father. Except he be equal in every respect, holiness, love, grace, wisdom, will and purpose. But we preach Christ. Oh, except he be truly man, how can he be under the law? And if he be not under the law, how can he redeem them that were under the law? If he be not truly man, how can that obedience so essential to the salvation of his people, how can it be required of him? Made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law. That they might receive the adoption of children. But we preach Christ. But we preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Oh, that ignominious death he died. Behold a scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place, crucified. Oh, the awful death of crucifixion. Why, it was awful to everyone that died such a death. But it was more awful to him than to any other. Because he was crucified, bearing the sins of all his people. The hymn writer puts it better than I can, as they often can. The pains of his body were great, but deeper the pangs of his soul. Oh, what he endured no tongue can tell. And you see, he couldn't harden his heart. It was impossible for him to harden his heart against what he was feeling, what he was experiencing it. You see, oh, if I may try, I tremble at it really. But lest I should belittle these tremendous matters. But the Lord Jesus used illustrations in his own ministry. And if we speak of the pain that men know, we know that some have what we call a lower pain threshold than others. Of course, this is in itself mysterious, and no one knows really what another one feels. but it's evident that some are more able to bear pain than others. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, oh, none could feel that pain he felt more than he did. Because the pain is according to the realization of the thing that is causing it. You see, the Son of God, he had a perfect discernment of the awfulness of sin. He had a perfect discernment of the holiness of his Father. He had a perfect discernment of the awful, infinite demands of the holy law of God. We preach Christ crucified. Oh, those sorrows he passed through. We preach Christ crucified. Oh, but in his people's room, place and stead, four sinners. But you see, this preaching of Christ crucified, the way of God of saving sinners, the single way of God of saving sinners. This is that which abundantly is set forth here in this that Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Not something else with it, but one work alone, one death, one sacrifice, one way in which the channel of mercy is open for poor sinners. He hath trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with him. Why are thy garments like him that treadeth in the winefat? I've trodden the winepress alone. Oh, none other in this work of salvation. Oh, not my people doing part of the work themselves. No, but Christ alone accomplishing that work. Why not? Why not in my people doing part of it themselves? They are quite unable. Quite unable. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Where is the sinner that can give themselves spiritual life? Where is the sinner that can overcome one sin? Where is the sinner that can breathe one prayer toward God in faith of himself? Where is the sinner that can really of themselves mourn over sin? You will not find one. And if God is teaching you, you'll certainly not find you are that sinner that can do such things. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. And this is the purpose why God would have Christ crucified preached, that which the hymn writer goes on to speak of may be accomplished. To Christ for help I fly, a refuge sure and nigh, a refuge sure and sweet, and nigh there is all my trust. Oh, give me free access unto thy bleeding side, for there I seek my dwelling place, as there my guilt would hide. But we preach Christ crucified. Oh, what is it in Christ crucified being preached that the Spirit makes so attractive to these people? Now many hear Christ crucified preached. It was so in the days of the Lord Jesus' ministry. a few. One here and one there. In other cases, a group of people, those Samaritans, who heard of him first through the woman and then heard him themselves. But sinners singled out by God, whom God had chosen. And here is the work of the Holy Spirit. My dear friend, we know no more of Christ and him crucified, savingly, effectually, but what the Holy Spirit conveys to our soul. But who are these people to whom it is made attractive? Those who are taught by the Holy Spirit what they deserve. What they deserve. To die eternally. To have executed upon them all the justice of God. To be pierced with the sword of God forever and forever. To be cast out into an eternity of never-ending woe. The lake that burneth with fire. The bottomless pit. To have a guilty conscience, the worm that dieth not forever and ever. And the poor sinner who is taught by the Spirit that they cannot do one thing toward their soul's salvation. Now in the apostle by the Spirit and in every servant of God preaching Christ and him crucified, you see that is the sound of the blessed trumpet to this poor sinner who is ready to perish. Because it says not, if you do this, I will do this. But it declares, it is finished. The finished work of Christ. That sin has been put away once. Once that he appeared in the end of the world to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But you see also, God will have Christ and him crucified preached to awaken sinners to the seriousness of sin. This Christ, his Father said of him, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Also of this Christ, his Father said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, the Son in whom he is well pleased, his only beloved Son. Now what does that show? It shows the awfulness of sin. That God, to put away the sins of his people, must smite his own Son. My dear friend, if he did that because of sin, if that is his way of putting away sin, oh, how awful to be not found among those people whose sins Christ bore. Because if Christ didn't bear our sin, if Christ wasn't smitten in our place, God will smite us forever and ever. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. The thing above everything else that is declared by God in Christ crucified is his love to his people. In this was the love of God manifested, that he spared not his own Son. In this was the love of the Son magnified, manifested. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. but also in Christ and Him crucified, God declares how He can be just and the justifier of the ungodly. That question that is put in the book of Job, how can a man be just before God? Oh, God, having laid on His dear Son the sins of His people, His Son, blessedly and completely and infinitely fulfilling the law of God, in His spotless holy life, and His sin-atoning death, those sins are put away, for that righteousness is raw. That righteousness is raw, which is the covering for poor and righteous sinners. That righteousness by which they alone can be justified. God accounting the blessed deeds of His dear Son, including that deed of His death, accounting those unto His people. The ransom which the Father found in His dear Son. I have found a ransom, a price sufficient. That ransom that God alone can find. And that speaks not only of that ransom being the giving of His dear Son, but it speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit in His people's experience, finding that ransom, revealing to them that Christ, so that that ransom price in their soul's experience is made known by the Spirit testifying of Christ. But we preach Christ crucified. God forbid, he said, that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Christ only. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. Why? They sought a sign. But this Christ and Him crucified can't be seen with those natural eyes that saw that sign. That's why they stumbled over Him. They saw Him not by faith. That's why He's a stumbling block to the Jew, and that's why He's a stumbling block to every unbeliever. If you don't see Him by faith, you'll stumble over Him. You'll stumble at His ministry. When He speaks of faith, you'll stumble at it, thinking you must believe in Him. When He speaks of repentance, you'll stumble at it, thinking that you must repent and then come to Him. When He speaks of the fruits of His blessed finished work, you'll stumble at it and think that you've got to produce those fruits. When He speaks of that which is so vital, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You'll stumble at it and think you've got to deny yourself of yourself. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. You'll stumble at that and try and struggle to take up your cross in your own strength. And follow me. You'll stumble at that because you'll try to follow Him by imitating Him with creature power. To to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, unto the Greeks foolishness. How can these things be? How can these things be? Though we have been brought up, most of us, from our earliest days, to hear these truths, still in unbelief we say, how can these things be? To the Greeks, foolishness. What? For the sinner to do nothing? How can that be? For the sinner to have nothing of themselves? How can that be? For the sinner to know nothing of themselves? How can that be? For the sinner of themselves to be able to do nothing? How can that be? And then we'll set about being such good theological students and say, how could God receive a sinner like this? Oh, to the Greeks' foolishness. My dear friend, this really is what is working in our heart all the time until God in mercy deliver us. We can't deliver ourselves from this. And you see, that's one of the things with regard to which this word is true to the Greeks' foolishness. Because the truth really, as revealed by the Spirit and made known to a poor sinner, it leaves no way for the poor sinner except that way which is revealed to them by God. I think perhaps I've mentioned it before. It comes to my mind again now what dear Henrietta Gilpin was brought to in her soul's experience when she was under the teaching of the Spirit. When she'd lost, when she was losing and was brought to the point where she'd lost all the religion she had, which was of the flesh. And she came to this point, Lord, there is no way. There is no way. And the Lord Jesus said to her, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And she said, I'd read that word many, many times before. And it never shined in the way it did then. To the Greeks, foolishness. Now, it doesn't make sense to the natural man, does it? Why, to the natural man, what would make sense is that they'll be able to understand of themselves what the Lord means. But Christ in him crucified sets forth that man needs God to do everything for him in the person of his dear Son. Oh, but for who did Christ die? When Paul preached Christ in him crucified, it was for sinners he preached. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, to our poor nature as Greeks, this is foolishness. Have you ever felt to be such a rebel? Have you ever felt to be such a black sinner that you could not see and comprehend in your wisdom how God could save you? Why God should smite his Son in your place? Well, he did so. only because of the love he had to his church, not because of any love they had to him. No, while we were yet sinners, yet enemies to God by wicked works. To the Jews a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, the effectual call of God, the invincible call. And what is that call? It is a call to appear before God. Firstly, with regard to his holy law, with regard to all his infinite demands, call to see God's holy law, righteous is without a flaw. Call to tremble. I was reading recently a sermon of the late J.C. Philpott, and he faithfully spoke something like this, warning the people of the flimsy evidences that were being put forth in those days. In the 1800s, in the ministry, the flimsy evidences of the work of God. And he warned the people against thinking they were going to heaven if they neither knew how or when they received that faith which they professed to have. He spoke of every work of God in the salvation of his people and those renewing works through their experience as being always a bringing into trouble, a deep trouble, Jacob's trouble. There's none like it. The Lord's people are called in their measure, not all in the same depth, not all have the same terrors in their soul, but all are brought to feel before God they are utterly lost. Now, my dear friend, it is not to me you have to answer this. May the Lord cause you and me to examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God, not in the light of anyone else's word, but in the light of the Word of God. Have we had such a beginning? Do we know anything of such a trouble? If we are called, we must do. To be a sinking sinner. To be a perishing sinner. The great trumpet shall be blown and they shall come, which are ready to perish. Why? You know, it's solemn that much of the ministry in the day in which we live, even among our own circle, and I feel my own inadequacies. I'm not pointing the finger at any other. I speak to myself as much as to any other. Oh, what flimsy evidences. Called, but above all, called to the feet of Jesus. Called to God's dear Son. The woman in the gospel, when she heard of Jesus, she said, if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Call to that mercy seat. And you see, it's only as Christ and him crucified is preached that there's any place. That's the only place whereby a poor, law-condemned sinner may draw near to God. This is what God sets forth in Christ and him crucified. Sinner, that's the only place you can prevail with me. That's the only name that I will regard. That's the only sacrifice that is of any worth. That's the only work that will save. Not your work, but the work of my Son. But he speaks of it being sovereignly given. He speaks of it being done for the vilest. He speaks of that blood cleansing from all manner of sin and of blasphemy. but unto them which are called, called to the throne of grace, called to that mercy seat, called to that advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, yes, both from among those who seek a sign and those that seek after wisdom, Christ, the power of God. There is the power of God to save. Indeed, there is all the power of God. For we read, by him God created the world. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Christ, the power of God. Oh, he's the power because he's the man of his right hand. The man whom he hath made strong for himself. The power to fulfill the law. The power to defeat Satan. The power to bruise the serpent's head. The power to put away sin. The power to melt hard hearts. The power to quicken dead souls. Oh, who are these then that are called to this Christ crucified? Why, they're the dead. Because there he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Where was his body laid after he died? In the grave. And what does he say? Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. The power of God. The power of faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. The power of repentance. He's exalted to give it. Because you see, repentance and every grace is only in Christ. There's none in the law. Christ, the power of God. The power to put away sin, the power to overcome sin. Oh, some this, some that good virtue preach to rectify the soul. But we first after Jesus reach. And richly grasp the whole. You see, everything in Christ crucified. There's faith there for the unbeliever. There's repentance of the hard-hearted. There's a conquering of sin there for the poor sinner who says, subdue this monstrous host of sin that dwells within, the accursed train of unbelief and sin. Let faith be active in the Lamb once slain, and all my soul adore and bless his holy name. The power of God. The power of God to deliver from idols. Oh, if you have Christ crucified, preached into your soul by the Holy Spirit, you'll have no idols. Buried says, soon as faith my Lord can see, hanging on the cross for me, quick my idols all depart. Jesus wins and keeps my heart and fills it. There's no room for idols. He's the well-beloved, the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. But he's only so by the work of the Holy Ghost. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God. Oh, how contrary this is to a Greek-like search for wisdom. That Christ should alone be our wisdom. It's beyond our comprehension, isn't it? The poor sinner thinks, well, I must have the wisdom to look to him. Well, you haven't. Do you have the wisdom to look to him? Christ, the wisdom of God. Oh, when he comes and blesses a poor sinner with his own spirit. When he comes and calls a poor sinner to look to him. When he comes and gives the poor sinner the wisdom. When he speaks to a poor sinner. You see, that's how Christ is made unto a poor sinner wisdom. My presence shall go with thee, said God to Moses. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, to have him in your heart telling you what to do. And what does he tell you? What does he tell you to do, believer? My son, give me thy heart. Let me thy sorrows bear. 'Tis not thy caution, power or art can save thee from despair. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And what wisdom that is. Why, God committing the whole care and charge of this people to his son. He's the shepherd who doesn't flee when the wolf cometh, like the hireling does. Rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. What wisdom! You can't find anything that will defeat that wisdom. Every other wisdom is defeated from the fall. But the wisdom of God in Christ, it will never be defeated. I've bound thee up secure, one in him, in union with him. From before time began to eternity. The wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Christ, the power of God. And the wisdom of God. Well, may the Lord grant that we each, if it would please thee, may know this calling. That we may know Christ and him crucified to us, the power of God. Oh, to be made free by that power. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And that wisdom, whose price is above rubies. Amen.
God willing, Dr. Sadler will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Broom will preach on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 705. Thou poor, afflicted, tempted soul, with fears and doubts and tempest tossed, what if the billows rise and roll, and dash thy ship, it is not lost. The winds and waves and fiends may roar, but Christ will bring thee safe on shore. Hymn 705.
to in mercy forgive all that has been amiss in thy pure and holy eyes, and to in mercy raise in power that which is sown in weakness. O may some word of truth been planted, sown this night in good ground to bring forth fruit in due season. Keep us safe as we separate. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.